I'm going to begin this morning. We're reading through the book of Acts and just trying to discover the beauty of how the gospel spread, how it spread so rapidly, and what the early church had that we don't have and what they had that we do have. What they have and how can we get it? What can we do to position ourselves with the gospel, the clarity of the gospel, also the purpose and power of the Holy Spirit. We've been celebrating the unprecedented nature. We've just seized that wonderful 2020 word, unprecedented, that the Lord said before He left, it's imperative that I go away. And nobody ever wants Jesus to go away. You just got to know that. And so the disciples, I'm sure, were perplexed to hear Him say, I got to go, and it's to your advantage that I go. Unless I go, He won't come. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. So He said, it's to your advantage. And the unprecedented thing that happened was, Jesus said, He is with you, but He's going to be in you. And that's never before happened. He was with Moses. He was with Joshua. He was with Gideon. He was with the apostles. But He's now going to be in you. Behold, the prophet said, the dwelling of God is with men. The Lord doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. But He said, I have chosen, I have purposefully desired from the beginning that my dwelling place be here. Not some proximity that you go to, but here. We were talking about acknowledging the Lord. He said, if two or three are gathered, I'm there. And He is there, it's just we don't always acknowledge Him or give Him room to speak, right? But He is there. How many of you know He can be there and you don't know it? He can be present and you not acknowledge. Tremendous things can be happening and you won't even know. Isn't that true? Jesus was baptized, He came up out of the water. The Bible says, heaven opened and the Father spoke. This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. And somebody said, did it just thunder? What was that noise? So God can be present, He can be speaking, He can be doing awesome things, and you'll think, what was that noise? Case in point, I had a late appointment Friday afternoon sitting in my office about 3:30 with a friend. We were talking and two people lost their lives in a car accident right there. We're sitting there and we hear this sound, and the young man I'm visiting with, he said, what is that? I said, that's a helicopter. I said, they come over, you know. And it got louder and louder and it didn't dissipate. I said, well, maybe it's just going to the hospital. It's an air ambulance or something. I said, unless it's landing in my front yard. Well, we walk out 20 minutes later and there's a helicopter in the front yard of the church right there. Horrible accident. Gravel truck meets mid-sized car. And two people lost their lives. It can be happening right here. And I'm sitting in there. Yeah, I heard a helicopter, but life-altering thing. So the Lord can be present. It's whether or not we will give Him room to speak and acknowledge the fact that He's in the room. David said, I have set the Lord always before my face. And because He is at my right hand, I'm not going to be moved. It took me years to believe. It took me years to get into my heart that God was not just for me, but He was with me. And He didn't come and go. I was the one who came and went. He was always right here. I was always going and coming. I was the inconsistent one. He is the faithful, unchanging, ever-present, always there one. And so this is the celebration of this early church, is this unprecedented thing, Ruth, that God is, He's not just around, He's here, and He's doing marvelous things. And this is by His own choice and His own call. Jesus said, this is the way it's going to go down after I leave. The Holy Spirit's going to come and empower you, and you're going to be my witnesses. Peggy, you're going to start in Jerusalem, and it's going to spread to Judea, out in the county, and then it's going to go to Samaria, and then it's going to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it's happening. And so we're celebrating that in the book of Acts, watching how it's happened. And the beautiful Spirit of Christ that comes on these people. When Peter stands up and he says, "This Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made him both, number one, Lord and Christ." He is in charge and he's got the goods. He's got all authority and he's got all power. He's got God's, the Father's authority seated at his right hand, a name above every name, unequaled to any. And he's in charge. And it's going to look different. You're going to act different. And the world has the opportunity now to see firsthand what it looks like when Jesus Christ is really Lord. And you're going to show, just like I showed you. You're going to make disciples. They're going to be disciples of the Lordship of Christ. And their lives are going to reflect, hopefully, what it looks like when Jesus Christ is truly in charge. So I want to read this first before we read in Acts, because the story's picking up, man. It's just happening. So many things are happening, all right? Tremendous things are happening, and the speed is picking up, and it's just kind of snowballing, and the rapid spread of the gospel is just multiplying, exponentially growing real quickly. We're going to see how. I want to begin with a verse that I've read many times and struggle to understand, and you may be with me. This is John 16. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth," verse 7, "it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." So that's one work of the Spirit, he's saying, that's going to happen. I've read that verse many times, haven't quite understood it. If you'll permit me to read a couple of other translations, one being The Message. Some of you are familiar with Dr. Peterson's great translation here. He says it this way. This is our friend who says, "And the Word became flesh and what? Moved into the neighborhood. When he comes, he'll expose the error of this godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin, and that righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control, and that judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted." Isn't that good? And then again, Dr. N.T. writes what he calls the Kingdom New Testament. He says, "When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong on three counts: sin, justice, and judgment. In relation to sin, because they don't believe in me. In relation to justice, because I'm going to the Father and you won't see me anymore. In relation to judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." You remember that Jesus said, now is the ruler of this world cast down. Now. I share that because as we read chapter 7 of Acts in Stephen's testimony to the Sanhedrin and the Jewish rulers in his ensuing martyrdom and stoning, you'll see this playing out. You'll see the Holy Spirit convicting these people regarding sin, righteousness, and judgment in Stephen's message. The other thing I want us to see is that we've already celebrated the growth and the explosion of what's happening in Jerusalem, of Peter and John's imprisonment and release, and then the apostles jailed and beaten. They come back to the church. It says they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his namesake. How do you think that changes a meeting? Suppose I was imprisoned for just being me, which some people would like to see. Maybe fined, maybe, I don't know, mistreated. But I come back in here on Sunday morning and I'm all happy that this is the way it went down. It changes everything. We're celebrating the fact that these people, first of all, had the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They had a clear message of this new gospel of Christ's resurrection. And if you've overcome the grave, you're in charge. There's nothing left to overcome, right? If you can kill me and I come out of the grave and you kill me again and I come back again and you kill me again, I'm in charge of anything in there. It's Groundhog Day. I'm in charge. I can do what I want to do because the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And so Jesus is now Lord and Christ. So that was the clarity of their message. It was more than simply saying, if you'll believe in Jesus, you'll go to heaven when you die. No, here's the message. Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, God has established him as Lord and Messiah, the anointed one who is now in charge. He lived 3 years right in front of us, and 33 years in front of us, showing us what it looked like when God was in charge of an individual life. His life was the sign that God is now in charge. That's why he said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, it's a sign that what? Kingdom's come. This is what it looks like. Nothing can stand in front of me because I am anointed by the Father to set at liberty those that are bound, to preach good news to the captives and set them free. It's here. He said, it's here. And it's going to continue to come. So they had a clear message. They had the power of the Holy Spirit. And as it says in Revelation, they love not their lives unto death. So, powerful, powerful message and demonstration that if somebody doesn't care about their life, they're dangerous. They're just dangerous. You know? If you don't care about dying, you're a dangerous person. I really enjoyed the Mel Gibson movie, We Were Soldiers, that chronicled our early involvement in Vietnam. And it's very clear we were very, very unprepared. Now, I know it's Hollywood, but I think history has shown we were very unprepared for what was happening over there. But in that early firefight, those leaders went in after they were out of ammo and their rifles, go in with their pistols and just shooting and just totally unafraid to waste their lives. You're dangerous when you love not your life unto death. This is part of how they overcame. So these are the ingredients that these people had and that we're celebrating and that are also available to us. Same Holy Spirit, same message, same ability, if we can see it, to love not our life unto death, to lay them down freely. Jesus said, whoever's going to follow me, what? First step, deny yourself. Don't even consider it until you're able to pick up your own cross, come after me. So this is where we are, and it's working. 3,000 people, Holy Spirit comes in power, wonderful things are happening. The gospel again confronts, first of all, me. Then it confronts Moses. He's going to convict the world on three counts when he comes. He's going to show them they're wrong about righteousness. He's going to show you that I'm right, Moses was wrong. He's just a forerunner. You can't trust Moses to make you righteous, okay? So he's confronting all of that. The gospel confronts everything and everybody. It's going to confront Caesar. If Jesus is Lord, let's say it again, I'm not. Moses is not. No matter how much we love him and appreciate him, and Caesar is not. In the gospel, we're seeing it clearly. It's confronting all three of those things quickly, powerfully. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we, by the way, are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit to whom God has given to those who obey Him. So there you have it again, Peter in Acts chapter 5. When they heard this, they loved it. When they heard this, cut to the quick and intended to kill them. So you see the gospel man just confronting the status quo. It's not going well. This brings us to, again, explosive growth. Council goes on their way rejoicing they had been considered worthy to suffer. And it says every day they just kept right on teaching in the temple and from house to house, teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Chapter 6 of Acts. All right? Instead of reading everything, I just want to watch what's unfolding here. Tremendous success, explosive growth. Jerusalem becomes a mega church with, I don't know, maybe by this time, quite a few thousand people. And as in any situation, success brings the need for administration. Isn't that right? Dr. Huxford, we're talking about having multiple children in big families, and you know, one child you can manage relatively easy, but you get a house full like the Eves or the Huxfords or the Murphys, and you got to have some order. You got to have some administration. And so one of the things we've been celebrating in this great church was the spirit of generosity, which is what it looks like when Jesus is in charge. What is our basic issue that keeps us from the Spirit of Christ? Selfishness. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, just know now that in the last days, Butch, it's going to be really, really ugly. People. Not the devil, people will be what? Lovers of themselves. You read the rest of the passage and it's Torah, 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 Torah. It's bad. Quickly. Brutal. Haters of the good. Disobedient to parents. Unright. Unholy. Ugly. But it starts with being lovers of self. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And so, tremendous explosive growth, but the spirit of generosity and giving. It says they sold houses and lands, brought it, shared. Well, apparently they had a feeding program for widows, kind of like Mary over in Guatemala, which many of you have been and served and loved and supported. Every day Mary feeds widows and orphans there in that little place in Guatemala. But it says at this time, this is chapter 6 in Acts, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose. Isn't that what normally happens? Got trouble. On the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews. And so we got our first little bit of social, racial issue in the church. And it's got to be dealt with. It says their widows were being overlooked. So we got a little bit of disparity socially. You got the native Hebrews, the blue bloods, then you got the Greek-influenced believers. So just a little bit of, we're better than you, and we're going to serve these ladies first, and maybe if we have enough, you'll get some. And not good, because when God's in charge, what? That kind of stuff don't go down. In Christ, come on, in Christ, there's no such thing, he says, as what? Jew? Gentile? All of the divisions we love to make, Jesus says, when I'm in charge, it don't work that way. Not even male, female. Well, I thought the man was ahead in the way. In Christ, Miss Beverly, there's no such thing as me and you. There's no such thing. It's married or unmarried. Rich or poor, white or black, man or woman in Christ. When God's in charge, His kingdom, it doesn't work that way. We are one in Him. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples said, it's not desirable for us to neglect the Word of God in order to serve tables. In other words, we have to deal with this. It's getting out of hand. It's causing some dissension. Why don't you choose about seven brothers from among yourselves that we can put in charge of this task. He said, so we can give ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. I think that's great. The Holy Spirit's helping them resolve this issue. And it says they chose seven men. All right? Seven men, and it names them. Among the first two named are Stephen and Philip. The statement found approval. They loved it. It worked. They brought them before the apostles. They laid hands on them and blessed them for their task. And it says the word of God kept right on spreading. Don't you love it? Order came in. The word of God kept spreading. They dealt with it. What I want us to see this morning, if nothing else, is that there's a shift in what's happening in the dialogue here in this story. The next several chapters, these are devoted to the ministry of two deacons, not the apostles. The first martyr in the church wasn't an apostle, he was a waiter. His name was Stephen. He was just chosen. But it says he was a man full of power and the Holy Spirit, and great grace was on him. In the mornings he went and took care of the ladies and fed the women and loved on them and blessed them. In the afternoon he goes out and preaches in the streets. And it says he was full of grace and power. This is really interesting because there's a shift. This thing is snowballing so fast. In Jerusalem, in the big mega church, and the apostles are all in place, and it's good and it's rich, and who would ever want to change that? Can you imagine being in church, Butch, with Peter and James and John and Matthew and all those guys who were walked with Christ for 3 years? You'd just be eating up every story. Tell me again, Jack, what was it like when you guys were there on the mountain and he passed out that sack lunch and he gave some to you? Well, tell me about it. Come on, man. I want to hear it again. You know, I mean, what was it like when you passed that food out and it was still in the basket? And you tell me, what about that time y'all were in the boat and the storm came and y'all were scared and Jesus shows up? I want to hear that. I mean, who wouldn't want to be a part of that? But if you'll watch the story and read it for yourself, there's a shift happening. Because remember, in the upper room, the Holy Spirit fell not just on the 12, but on each one of them. Jack, Emily, Debbie, Rourke, Nate, tongues of fire. So here's Stephen. He may have been selected to help and serve the widows, but it says he was full of grace and power. And he begins to preach, and some of the brothers took issues with some of the culture and the Moses people in the synagogue and the rulers. They didn't like what he was saying, and they felt threatened. And again, the gospel is confronting the status quo and the way it's always been. And they could not cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. So when you can't beat them in spirit, you have to find some false witnesses and some liars to testify against them. And that's what they did. This man always speaks against Moses. We don't like it. Chapter 7, the high priest said, are these things so? And Stephen, by the Holy Spirit, said, hear me, brethren and fathers. The God of glory appeared to Abraham. And if you want a synopsis, a one-chapter synopsis of the history of Israel, it's Acts chapter 7. Stephen doesn't leave anything out. Starts with Abraham, goes all the way to David and beyond. Great story of deliverance and God's kindness and faithfulness. But he's just a deacon. He waits on tables. Y'all know what that means, don't you? Minister. He's one who waits on tables. Stephen, full of power in the Holy Spirit. And so the story begins to follow Stephen. And it doesn't go well for him. because he confronted with the gospel the status quo. Verse 54 says, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick again, began gnashing their teeth at him. All right, these people are angry. They're gritting their teeth. There's smoke coming out of their ears. They just can't believe it. Stephen, it says of Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus, what? Standing at the right hand of the Father. Jack reminded me, listening to a sermon recently, one of our favorite teachers, he said, Stephen saw Jesus standing even though he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He said, Jesus probably stood up to receive Stephen. Jesus might have felt it was honorable to receive the first martyr, this seed of the future church, and say, this is really good. I'm going to stand up for Stephen. That's a great insight, isn't it? But it's just when they had driven him out of the city, began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. So we're introduced to a young man named Saul, first time in the scripture. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice in the spirit of King Jesus and said what? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He said, don't hold this sin against them. Listen, people, that's what it looks like when God's in charge. Forgiveness, come on, for your enemies. All right? Jesus taught us that, didn't he? Didn't he, Lauren? He said, anybody, can love people that love them back. He says, that's no problem. That's easy. Here's what it looks like when I'm in charge. Find your enemy and do him good. Oh, come on. Let's don't go there. He said, even tax collectors and sinners can love those that love them back. He says, I'm calling you up to a higher place to forgive and to love your enemies. All right? How many of you find it easy to love people who love you back? We're kind of a mutual admiration society here. All right? You people are easy to love. Doris and Kay, come on. Come on. Who wouldn't love those people? But my enemies? And so in the spirit of Jesus, here's Stephen, the first martyr. The stones are flying. He's dropped to his knees. I can't even imagine what it's like to be stoned to death. But he's already given it up. He's already loved not his own life unto death. And he says, Lord, he already sees Jesus. Jesus sees him. He knows they're going to be together. But it still had to be horrible death. But he says, Lord, don't hold this sin against him. And then in a moment, Jesus relieved him of his pain. It says he fell asleep. And then first verse of chapter 8, Saul, whoever this guy is, he's just introduced to us as a young man, was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered. Imagine that. Throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. That sounds familiar, doesn't it, Dean? You will be my witnesses. It may take persecution to get it done, but you're going to Judea and Samaria with the gospel. You're going to eventually go to the world. You see what's shifting here? Jerusalem, the megachurch, the great things that are happening, you just love it. But suddenly, there's enough persecution that it says they were all what? Scattered. How many of y'all know it's part of God's nature? He's a scatterer. Isn't he? Yeah. Adam, you and Eve, take the beauty of this garden and scatter it to the rest of the world. Right? It's the mandate. Not just the garden. Take the beauty and the order and the kingdom living of this garden and take it out into the larger world. Get it out there. Israel, take what I've given you, make it work in Canaan so that what? All the earth will know. Abraham, I'm going to bless you, but my purpose in blessing you is that all the rest of the earth would get in on the blessing. So we have this little story and tucked away in the New Testament called the Tower of Babel, and they were building a tower, and God says, no, that's not how it's going to work. It says, they said, their own words, let us build this tower so we won't be scattered over the face of the earth. And God said, not going to have it. If I'm in charge, you're going to go. Jerusalem, it's great. I love what's happening here, but I want it to go beyond you. And sometimes it takes pressure to make that happen, doesn't it? If you'll read the story, what you're going to see is that a couple of these waiters, these new deacons, Stephen now dead, causing the persecution to arise and the scattering. And in that scattering, a young man named Philip, he begins to go to Samaria and preach the gospel. And I declare they liked it, they received it. And then he's taken by the Holy Spirit to a man traveling in a chariot on just some isolated desert road, like between here and Phoebe. But he's not from Phoebe. He's from Africa. And suddenly, he stops the chariot in response to Philip's teaching. And he says, would you baptize me right here in this mud hole? Philip said, I don't see why not. And the gospel goes to another continent. Just like that, by way of a deacon. It says, all who were in the church in Jerusalem were scattered except the apostles. What does the word apostle mean? Anybody know? One who is sent. So everybody is scattered except the apostles. I'm just challenging you here that all of us have a role to play. And one of the greatest things you're going to see is that the gospel spread because everybody just played their role. And you have to play yours. And you don't want to compare yourself to somebody else. That's a terrible thing. But this is a great place for us to stop and say, look, play your role. Do what God's given you to do. Maybe you're not an apostle. Maybe you're just a waiter. But if you're full of the Holy Spirit, what's possible? You got the same Holy Spirit, right? Right? Is He different? He's different in expression in you. You know, we have all of the differences, but Paul says it's the one and same Holy Spirit that makes everything work. Some of you remember a couple years ago, I shared a message that I thought maybe was mine. I don't get many messages that are just mine. I don't have many original thoughts. Butch knows what I'm talking about. You listen to a lot of good preachers and you pick up what they say and you study. But once in a while you have one of those original thoughts, right, Butch? And so I did a message on some and others. Anybody remember that? It says in Acts 11, we'll get there, but he says, in keeping with the persecution that happened in Jerusalem because of Stephen, some took the gospel as far as Antioch. Others went here or there. We don't even know their names. We don't know who they are, but they went down to a little place called Antioch in Samaria, non-Jewish territory, and they received the gospel. And that little church in Antioch became the first missionary church that sent Paul and Barnabas to the world. It didn't happen in Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? this is a great time for us to say, well, I may not be a Peter or a James or a John. I may not even be a Stephen or a Philip. I may be some or other. Some of the greatest heroes in Scripture, we don't even know their name. I love the Hebrews Hall of Fame. I love it. We love to read it. We need heroes. We need the Davids and the Gideons and the list that says they did these wonderful exploits. And by faith, Abraham believed God and had that son. And by faith, Gideon did this and Joshua did this. And then the next passage, it says what? Some, however, were sawn in two. Same passage of heroes. Others gave up their dead, their children. Others and some and others. Same passage of heroes. But you're a hero. You can be a hero just by doing what God's given you to do. I hope you'll do it. I pray you'll do it. I pray that we'll take to heart not our differences, but our sameness. Same Holy Spirit. Same gospel message that hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is in charge. And we have a glimpse of what it looks like. Goodness, mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they're going to get mercy. Anybody want mercy? You got to give it. You want grace, you do what? You give it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'll fill them. That's how it works in His kingdom. The meek get the earth. Not the powerful. Not the arrogant. Not always the gifted. The meek get the earth. But I hope you'll see this with me as it unfolds. The emphasis shifts from Jerusalem to this little place called Starkville. It's a little place called West Point. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's a legitimate question, Philip. There's nothing in Nazareth except a guy named Mary and Joe. Can anything good come out of Starkville? Thank God the curtain is beginning to lift and Dean may get back into Uganda next month. Mike and Amy get back into Kenya next week, maybe. And so, just do what God's given you to do. It's a great time to celebrate the fact that we're not all going to look alike. We're not going to have the same gift. Paul talks about all of the difference, but he said, there's different gifts. Ben, there's even different expressions of the same gift. He said, that has to do with a different measure of faith and a different measure of grace. All of those are different among us. But he said, one and the same Holy Spirit works all these things. So that's why we come back to this wonderful, wonderful, unprecedented thing called God say, I'm going to not just be with you and near you and by you, I'm going to be in you. And it's going to work. Like I said, it's going to work. It's going to go to the ends of the earth. And we're watching it happen here. By a couple of guys who yesterday were serving food to the old women in the church. Isn't that great? That's really a great story, isn't it? But the gospel continues to spread. People become obedient to the faith, it says. What fun, huh? And then we're introduced to simply this guy. You want to throw some rocks at Stephen? Let me hold your coat. You throw better if you take your coat off. That's what's happening. It says they laid aside their garments. Would you watch my coat while I kill this guy? And he's just a young man named Saul. And we're going to watch his story unfold. And how God chooses people is still amazing, isn't it? Well, celebrate those things with me, but maybe take to heart that you're all part of the sum in others. You're all part of the sum in others. And it's a great day to lay hold of what God has given all of us. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Nothing. And so we all have the same package. It's not like I have something you don't. I don't. Maybe you believe the Lord is here. He's here. He's present. So if you're here, then let him have some space. Let him have room to speak. Let him have room to address you and to speak to you. And don't just say it thundered. Listen to what he's saying. It's not just noise. God's trying always to speak to us. Okay? He always tried. He's always wanting to speak to us. How many of you remember that great Bible study that took hold in churches all across the land here back in the 90s called Experiencing God? Anybody remember that by Henry Blackaby? It just kind of went everywhere. It went viral, as they say. Well, I met a young couple yesterday that's found a new place in a new lively church. And they said, we're starting a Bible study this week called Experiencing God. I thought, yeah, you'll like it. Well, it transformed our church, and I remember the time you were getting your family to Africa. It was a lively time, and everybody suddenly, the water just lifted for everyone, and it was a good time. I pray this will be that kind of a time. Why don't you stand, and we'll just pray together and thank the Lord for His presence among us, the reality of it. Well, amen. Don't you just love these stories? This is an outstanding story, and it's just picking up steam, and it's involving more people, and it's about us. It's about us. So, Lord, we bless you. We thank you that there is none like you, none beside you. You are eternal in the heavens. Your love for the world is beyond our understanding. Your willingness to be involved in it is beyond our understanding. But we're thankful for it. Thankful for the way you can administrate the universe and still know our names and provoke us to obedience and to hear the voice of your Holy Spirit. And so we just want to acknowledge that this morning, submit to it, embrace it, and say, Lord Jesus, come and have your way and sharpen our tools of the gospel, increase our awareness of your presence in our lives, teach us about sacrifice and what it means to truly live with a life laid down. Teach us, Lord, how to live generously in all things, not just with our resources, but with our time, with our compliments, generous with our mercy and kindness, generous in all things. Help us to know what it means to even love our enemies and to do good to those who use us. We ask these things in your name, the name above every name. Amen. Thank you for being here. If anybody needs prayer, ministry, encouragement, healing, help of any sort, we're here to stand with you and pray for you. All right? God bless you.